welcome to Wifflecast, episode number 4. This is Bumpy Martinez from Palisades / Brown Broyles. Gonna have Gerard Fitzgerald today. Gerard is a 2018 hired assassin by the Brewers. He has a career 308 batting average, which is good enough for 9th overall in the record books, and was a key member of the 2015 championship Dodgers team. Gerard Fitzgerald, coming up next.
With the 2018 hired assassin?
Hey, that's me.
That would be you?
How can I help you?
Gerard Fitzgerald on the air.
How we doing, everybody?
One of the most dangerous hitters in wiffle ball, regardless of what league, what tourney. I want to start off with, let's say, that championship season you had in 2015 with the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me a little bit about that season, 2015, how the season went?
Well, I think, you know, it was just a bunch of guys on a mission that year, you know. I mean, everything kind of fell together nicely in terms of, you know, me and Dids were allowed to kind of play together initially, you know, with the core two thing before the draft was implemented.
That's right.
So we had, you know, we had a good start there, and then Johnny Whiffs, you know, with, you know, him and Brett, and then, I mean, initially we had Tyler, who was coming off a big game before we got Jordan, so... I think even if we didn't get Jordan, we still, you know, we may not have as good of a record, but I think we still would have had a pretty good shot.
You see, now thank you for saying that, because I caught a lot of heat for that trade.
Oh, we appreciate it.
You know, the trade was Jordan Robles, and I got Tyler, Greg Tyler, back in return. It wasn't a prototypical even trade, but it just worked for me at the moment. You guys got a big push into a championship, which, like you said, I think you were kind of on your way there anyway. That year you batted .396, and I think, if I'm correct, you pretty much won the chip that year with your bat. Is everybody right?
Well, you know, the other guys, obviously, it wasn't as difficult, you know, without the great, you know, pitching performances from Jordan and Johnny. They held everybody in check, so it was kind of set up. I just had to get a few hits here and there, you know.
So that game went 9 innings.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like the Mariners scored a run in the top of the 9th.
You know, I felt like I was getting good looks against Fleisser, you know, pretty much all year coming in, especially that game. You know, I felt like I was good at pretty much any pitch, so. Fortunately, I was able to get one out, you know, over the middle of the plate and drive it, and then
tied the game.
So at that point, I was kind of just amped up, and then I felt like I just, you know, another pitch, I could have just finished it off, you know.
So now it becomes one up. You go into the 10th, and Mariners don't score. Dodgers come back, bottom of the 10th, and Gerard does it again.
The thing is, you can't say that would have happened if you know, Jordan wasn't pitching and shutting everybody down.
Yep.
You know, so it made it a little bit easier for me.
So that one you hit off of Ryan McElrath, I believe. And you guys end up winning the chip. Was it a walk-off?
Yeah, well, in the 15th inning, yeah, the second one.
Oh, yeah, okay. So it was a while down the line. 2016 now. Now that was something different. That's the super draft year. You're playing with the Astros. You know, Matt Riegel, your manager, you know, he pulls off a trade and he's able to get 2 first-round draft picks and takes you and Jordan. That season did not go as well as Matt planned that season. You guys were a middle-of-the-line, you had a middle-of-the-line record that year, but you did bat .320. What happened that season, 2016? Why did you guys underachieve?
Well, it was you know, a number of different things. You know, part of it was a little bit of bad luck as well, because we were in the top part of kind of pitching and offense at the time. We just couldn't really finish games off. And it helps when the Dodgers team had a little bit more firepower, of course. So I mean, it made it a little bit easier.
Then 2017, last year, you started with the Astros. You batted .279 for the Astros. I made a trade for you, and you promptly batted .195 for me, big guy.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
No, what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do?
I know. I mean, it's I was a frustrating end to that season, but it's obviously the quality of pitching has improved a little bit. You brought in some new guys, some new the guys that were in the league, of course, have gotten better. They've evolved. So I'm not saying it's as easy as it was to hit, but it's a little more things to consider.
Currently, you're ninth in batting average career-wise in the Palisades with a .308 batting average. So you're ninth overall.
I try to bring that up a little bit this year, hopefully.
Yeah, I anticipate that. Let's see here. Let's go with a little bit of approaching, hitting approach. When you're coming to bat, are you looking for a particular pitch, or what's your approach? What's going through your head when you get up to bat?
If I feel good against a certain pitcher, I could kind of lock in and adjust on the fly. If I don't know a guy, I might be a little more patient and wait him out a little longer. Ultimately, when you've been playing as long as I have, I guess there's only so many things the ball can do after a while. So with that in mind, it becomes easier to kind of pick out a pitch.
You hold the bat a particular way? How do you hold the bat? You choke up?
The key is just when you're starting your swing. I mean, I noticed when I kind of made a jump a couple of years back, is just, loading the swing earlier. As the guy's releasing, a lot of times players will start their swing late, and, the ball's halfway on you before you even started your hand. That's no good against some of the harder throwing guys, so. You're going to start the load at the right time, and that way all you're doing is just reacting to either the break of the pitch or, if it's a faster pitch, just trying to swing through it.
You take a big stride? You got to open. You got to open stride. You don't stride much.
Not too much. I mean, a little bit of a front side transfer. Maybe not like a David Justice leg kick, but I guess Jeter's a good example of just that little subtle kind of. I didn't step move, kind of just to get the front side going.
Is there a particular spot in the box that you stand?
Yeah, I like to make sure I have the end of my bat covering a couple inches off the plate on the outer half.
I notice you're always reaching out and you hit that top left hand corner.
So basically, I could spot where a pitch is going to break back in, and then it's easier to extend on the pitches away anyway. A lot of guys try to pitch me in.
Just say you got in a bat, tough pitcher, you got two strikes on you. Would you pick inside, outside? Would you say, all right, I'm looking outside and now weaken yourself on the inside? Do you ever do that?
I think sometimes you have to be wary of if a guy has a tendency, but I think you hurt yourself if you kind of zone in on one area too much, because then if you get it, if you're looking in and you get away, you might be frozen. So the key is you kind of got to.
You cover both sides.
Backup plan.
Okay. You don't kind of lock in.
That first pitch, you know what I mean?
So you don't really lock in and say, that's it, I'm looking out, I'm protecting away. That's not
usually I'm assuming guys are going to try to bust me in anyway. So
okay.
I kind of take away the tough pitches in and then hope he makes a mistake on the outer half.
Is there anyone you talk to, you consult, somebody that, if you're in a funk, you ever mm-hmm. tell anybody, listen, take a look at my swing, see if I'm doing anything wrong or anything like that?
I used to maybe, but now I kind of know how to fix certain things.
Right.
I know if I'm like pulling the ball a lot, I'm starting my swing too early, and I gotta kind of tell myself to stay back. So a lot of times it sounds weird, but if I have like a home runs to left field, in a streak or whatever, I'll know that I'm probably close to a slump because I'm reacting to the pitch earlier than I want to.
Do you make adjustments between in the middle of and then bat or between a bat?
Yeah, depending on how a guy's pitches are moving, if I think the ball's moving a certain direction and it's not, I might have to, upon closer look kind of thing,
let me ask you this, do you think great hitters are born or great hitters are made? You can be taught.
Well, that's a good question. I think it's a little bit of both. I think, the better hitters certainly have a way to respond to the pitch, maybe you know, a couple split seconds faster than your average person. But, you know, the more reps you get, you know, you're going to recognize the ball flight sooner and just things like that. So, I mean, even great hitters, if you're rusty, you're gonna be a little bit off. So the key is getting enough reps and having a good fitness regimen, which helps to get everything started a little faster and smoother, you know, keep all the fast twitch muscles firing off appropriately and all that.
What do you think is the most important aspect of a successful at-bat?
That's just the mental game, you know, just going in, you know, knowing or, you know, whatever it might be, just that, you know, that guy's not going to beat you. You know, if you kind of
Right. Leave
that hard enough in a way, your brain kind of responds. You know what I mean? It's like a psychology kind of thing.
I believe you're right.
You can't go into it a bad thing, oh, this guy's got me, you know, because then you're going to be reacting a little bit later and you're going to fuck yourself up one way or another.
You got to go in there with a chip on your shoulder.
Yeah, I think that definitely helps.
Right. Basically, and say, this guy's not beating me.
Because, I mean, I've been playing a while. You know, a lot of guys have come and gone since I've been in the league. And, you know, I think it helps, of course, to have that competitive attitude. You know, you can't let any man, woman, or child beat you. You got to just be ready to...
Well, yes, right. That's definitely, you know, that's
always... Yeah, be ready to dominate at any given time.
Yeah, the second you're concerned and you're worried and you think you're going to make it out, you got no shot.
I mean, it becomes like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
What's the best team you ever played on?
Well, I mean, besides the Dodgers team there, there was, I'd have to say, probably the Crusaders team a couple years before that with me, Connor Young, Stein, Didio, and Wynn. You know, assortments of those two guys. And we had a pretty good run over the course of a couple years in Golden Stick. We finished top four. Beat a couple good teams, upset some people. So I mean, it was fun.
Who's the hardest pitcher you've batted against?
A lot of guys. You know, Norris, Kevin Norris, Sean Steffi, those guys initially. You know, Packers is pretty good. The new guys are getting there too. I mean, you know, Jordan's. You know, every time I face him now, he gets tougher to hit. Might just be because I'm getting old, but. Yeah, I mean, obviously, he's, you know, come a long way and
still improving.
You know, the first time I played in the Golden Stick All-Star game, I remember I faced this kid, Danny O'Shea, or I think that was his name. I don't know. He was throwing like 145 miles an hour. That was the craziest thing I've ever seen. So I'd say that was probably the welcome to big league whiff moment. You know what I mean?
You just coming off this a tournament yesterday, right? Which tournament was that?
That was pretty cool, actually. MAW, I don't know, one of these up-and-coming little circuits. But we played at this turf complex in Jersey. You know, it had like a mini Fenway Park and a mini Citizens Bank.
Nice.
You know, an indoor turf complex, like the ones Pace plays at, you know.
How about how was the roof?
The ceiling wasn't as high as the ones we play at, so there was a lot of balls hitting the ceiling. There wasn't as many fly balls as there would be maybe in the Carmel one.
And I saw the field looked pretty big, though, pretty wide.
The Fenway one's pretty sick. It was, you know, it had like a nice little power alley in right center. It had like a mini green monster. I wanted to put a hole in the scoreboard with a line drive, but it didn't happen.
How did your team fare, and what was your team out there?
Me, Connor, and a couple of his boys, and we did all right. I mean, we went like... I think 2-1 in round robin, and then lost to Rob and Stant and Red in the playoffs. Stant's another guy who's pretty tough. He's got a good knuckleball.
You know, I haven't faced Stant with fast pitch. Can he control it well when he's throwing it?
He wasn't really throwing too many knucks, but he was. You know, he finds a way to get me out somehow. I don't know. I got to fix that though.
What do you think? How do you think the Brewers looking this year?
Hey, I mean, hopefully pretty good. I mean, Patron is he was pitching well when they got him, so. You know, I like his attitude. He's going to keep getting better. You know, Jay, the saucy old veteran. You know, the key, we could just keep the lineup moving, and I get enough at bats, and you know, get into a nice streak. I think we can compete.
I'll
have my lunch covered at least for the season. That helps.
Yeah, Jason, with the paid contracts, I think he's going to have to go out and get one more guy and pay another
Hopefully
guy.
In like 5 years, guys in Whips are making, you know, legit money, but at least this is a start for everybody.
Let's throw out some names out here from the league and, you know, see what's the first thing that comes to your mind. Devin Torres.
You know, gritty, I would say. He's, guy's been around. He finds himself in the latter part of the playoff runs every year. And, you know, he's like a Greg Maddux type. You know, he gets people out with the crafty stuff.
Yeah.
That was actually multiple words.
What? That's good. That's good. You know, something, you know, when Devin pitches, I don't know why, but the ball gets on you pretty fast, right?
Yeah, I mean, he has, like, sneaky fast velocity, and the ball has a nice cut to it. I mean,
he really does. I mean,
you know, gets another pitch or two, we either go with that. Because I know he throws a screwball, too, I think. But,
yeah,
be a couple different change-ups. And,
That ball gets on you a lot faster than I anticipate.
No, he's done pretty well against me.
How about Sean Ryan? The name Sean Ryan, was it?
He's another guy, you know, has been around a while. He just loves to compete. You know, he's getting better at hitting every year.
He is. He's a clutch hitter.
So that would give him the term determined, I guess.
Yeah, he's dangerous, you know. He can go 0-for-5 in a game, and then, you know, when I worry is with the game on the line and he's up, it's like, oh, no, don't do it again, Sean.
I think him, Jordan, and Kyle had a nice little trio.
The worst thing about Sean is you got to hear his mouth after he does something.
I've heard that. But
he's gonna yell. He's gonna run the bases.
Player willing to be vocal and talk some shit.
Yeah.
Makes for a fun affair, you know.
How about Bo Menchinski? What do you think of him? What a word recognition.
Bo is the classiest guy in the league. You know, a Grizzly veteran, the great eye. You know, he was up there at walks. You know, I remember looking at his stats when I was getting ready to commentate the playoff game.
Man.
You know, a guy's up there in on base percentage every year. Doesn't happen by accident, you know.
He's a very small player. Very small
yeah.
player. You know, he adjusts very well. Like, you know, I was hitting well against him. He was throwing me on the outside of the plate. And I was looking forward to batting against him because I was hitting well. You know, I had some good cuts against him. And he got me out a couple of times in a row. And before I realized, you know, this guy's throwing me inside now. He just totally changed his approach. So now, you know, I'm taking a cut or two, you know, I'm hitting the inside pitch, and now he goes to something else. He's a very, very smart pitcher, player.
Yeah, I mean, that's really the key to the game. You got to be able to work the guys in and out, up, you know, up and down. You got to change things around. Because if you're throwing the same pitches, same spot, you're going to get hammered. Not in a good way, you know.
I'll throw one name out here. You play with him. Nick Martinez.
Great hitter. Again, another guy getting better every year. You know, I was kind of upset you traded him for me in goal and won that championship, but you know.
Yeah, you know.
Nah, I'm kidding.
Well,
you don't make that move.
I almost had the bomb squad team. I felt, you know, everything was falling into place.
Yeah, it sucks they got him. It could have.
We're talking
got
about
myself another ring there.
We're talking about the 2017 goal. you know, Golden State runs it, and I drafted Gerard. I don't know. It might have been with my second or third pick. You know, you were ranked a little lower than some because
it was the second round, you know,
because you don't pitch.
The back snake around.
And then, you know, I mathematically figured out where Nick Martinez, who is my son, and where I can pick him. And one name or two right before I was going to take him, he got taken. So I was forced to trade him, the team that took him, a player that he wanted, which was you. In order to get Nick on my team, and we went on and won it, and you should have been on that team for sure. Unfortunately,
you can't turn your back on family, though. You know.
Yeah, I had to have him. You know, that's part of the fun. A lot of the fun for me is going and being able to play with my sons. For those of you that don't know, I got a couple of sons in their 20s that play on my team, and you know, some quality time we spend together in addition to competing. Who has the biggest mouth in the Palisades?
Besides me, you know, probably Didio. He talks a lot of shit.
Diddy,
you know,
when he gets mad.
Even when he's across country, he's still talking shit.
When he gets mad, he kind of kicks it into a second gear. He becomes like a psycho, eh?
I'm usually the biggest shit talker I know, so it's hard to compare.
You doing any golden any yard in 2018?
I'm not technically on a team now, but I might play at a few tournaments. I mean, practicing yard regularly is a good way to get the swing better anyway, and helps you stay back and drive the ball. So definitely beneficial. You get better for fast pitch. You know, the more you're playing, better you get. But I don't really have any specific plans at the moment.
Yeah, you're like always a free agent. You're always like the last guy that somebody grabs. It's like, oh shit, let's add Fitzgerald to this bomb squad team.
Yeah, and I was playing with the throwbacks for a couple of years. They're kind of going with the more local route with all the, you know, the guys that they live together, you know, live in the same town with. So since then, I've been flying solo.
All right, G. I appreciate you spending the time over here on Super Bowl Sunday, so we can get a little segment, a little wiffle ball talk going.
Man, no problem. Love the game, you know. Love the culture.
And good luck, but don't win too many games this coming season.
I'll try.
Okay, man. What's up, Chris?
All right, later, Bob. Thanks
later.
For having me.
Thanks, bud.
All right.
Oh, that concludes the interview on episode 5 with Gerard Fitzgerald, the High Assassin, 2018. See you next time on WiffleCast.